Good evening, everyone. Nice to learn with you. We're going to start. Like Hilchos Shabbos is obviously very complicated. Not that complicated, but we're going to start with the beginning. The way it's, I guess, the way it's organized in Surah Mirabanah is we first learn principles. So once you understand the principles, then you can see how it's applied with respect to every malacha. So I think the next unit, like you know, when people study the Hilchos Shabbos, so they study a lot about bishul, cooking, they start maybe borer, a lot of kitchen halachos, they study muksa maybe, but first we're going to talk about principles of, so we understand the difference, avos, toldos, shinoi, different terms that come up very often in our discussion. So let's go right in. Again, any comments, feel free to interrupt me. First, if you go to page 245, source 1. All right, so this is just Mishnah Berurah giving us chizuk about why it's important to learn. He says, it's a zchus mir shabbos kalacha mo limcha lo kavonosav. It's a special merit that if your Shabbos observe it, then it will help you forgive for your sins. It will serve as mechila. K'moshem Rabbi Gemara kolam shamir shabbos kehilchaso afilu tchit kador enush mochalim lo. If you observe Shabbos according to its proper halacha, even if you're committing a sin like the generation of Enosh, Hashem will forgive you. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ashrei Enosh. It's like a play on words a little bit. Ashrei Enosh yaseh zos, uben adam yachzik bo. Happy is Enosh who will do this. Man who will do this. Uben adam yachzik bo. Shomer Shabbos mechalalo. If you observe Shabbos technically it means from profaning it. Veshomer yodam esos kora. And you guard your head from doing any evil. So al tikrei mechalalo ele macholo. So if you're shomer Shabbos, your sins will be forgiven. Okay. And then he says, ach beeze inyan nuchal levo but lazu amadrege shimor Shabbos chol pratav. How can you know how to keep every detail of Shabbos? Ha'itza ha'yutza lazeh. The advice for this is sheyira lezaris is atzim aluman hilchos Shabbos v'lachzer le'at tamid k'sheyeda ha'aser v'amuter. You have to learn the halachos and keep on repeating it, review it again and again. The lavachi without this, I feel like yilmot kol inyanim hamosrim mizarzim lishmir Shabbos koray lo yolo. Because if not, even if you learn all the musar ideas, how you have to keep Shabbos, it's not going to help you. You need to know what the halacha is, right? And he says just the next bold he cites the Baal Urim and Tumim and the Tzvayon and Ibishitz and the Sefer Yaros Tavash ki ef shar klal she b'mitzios. You're not going to save yourself from committing sins unless you learn the laws very thoroughly. That's why I like when people ask me questions, especially about Shabbos, because it gives me a chance to review. So he says, one of the reasons that stops people from knowing Shabbos is because halacha chamura hi ma'od. Halacha is very difficult. Difficult, just if you just read the Shulchan Aruch. Im lo sheyeda mitchila mikori hadin migmor poskim. You have to first learn the Gemara and the poskim before you get to the Shulchan Aruch, the sources and the poskim afterwards. V'loze ein la adam panai bismanei. You don't have time to do this. Because rova tirda mutzukos hazman. But I'm going to say to Rabbi, we're too busy. And okay, and then he says levad mashish kama chiluke deos ben a poskim bechol prat uprat. They're made subject to many different opinions. And so that's why the Mishnah Berurah says, Lazos kamti v'nisarati bez l'shem yisparach levar gam halacha zu hachamura. So that's why I am trying to explain all these halachos, these complicated halachos, kol din v'dim v'tamo v'nim kol migmara poskim. So when Mishnah Berurah is going to explain, he's going to try to go from the Gemara and then the poskim and to go down bottom line halacha, gam yivur bo maskonos ha'achronim l'halacha koprat shenech l'ku ha'bo ha'poskim ha'kodmim. He's going to apply the conclusion of the achronim. Okay, so he just says it's very important to keep to learn halachos of Shabbos, so we'll be able to keep halachos Shabbos. Okay, so let's talk about avos and toldos. Okay, what's the difference between an av and a tolda? Anyone? Between an av and a tolda? Anyone?
What? Used to know.
Okay, we're going to learn.
There are 39 av malachas, right, 39 and then they malachas. Sort of branch out
they
into
branch out. Yeah.
Subdivisions.
Yeah. Okay, so that's you're correct. We'll more precisely define that, but that's correct. The Rambam, we have to define what difference between an av and a tolda. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, source 2, paragraph halach aleph, shvisa b'shvi b'mimlacha mitzvah zaseh, shenemar v'yom shvi tishbos, refraining from malacha on Shabbos is a positive mitzvah. So there's a positive mitzvah and a prohibition which you violate or keep when you don't do malacha. Okay, just one point. It's an obvious point, but source three, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, or Maseches Kiddushin, in case he's quoting the Mishnah in Chav Tesa Medalef, and he's going to go on to the Gemara Lamed Hey Amid Alef. It says Kol Mitzvos Lo Taseh Bein Shezman Grama Bein Shelo Zman Grama. So women are obligated. Obviously, women cannot do malacha on Shabbos, right? Just like men, because it's a prohibition. Women are subject to all prohibitions except for baltachi, baltashis, baltamer lemesim. The only thing that women are not, they're cutting their payas and rounding the corners of their beard if they have facial hair, or coming in, if they're Kohanim, if they're Bas Kohen, and coming in contact with the dead. But for all intents and purposes, in almost all cases, women are subject to all malachos. They can't violate any malacha. And what's the source? The Gemara in Laman Hey Amanav says, he brings from this pasuk, Ish o Isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam. He says that regarding a certain sin offering, it's called the guilt offering in Asham, when it says when a man or woman commits any sin that prohibits, so based on this limud, based on this understanding, hishra cause of isha leish lechol anshim sheba Torah. So the Torah equates women to men with respect to every punishment in the Torah. Sefer Chinuch says in source 4. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Okay, so in source 5, the Mishnah lists a whole host of avos malachos, which are 39 malachos, as Adina pointed out. It says Arbaim Chaser Achas, they're 40 minus 1, it's 39. Yeah, we can read it, I'm not going to explain each one, because some of them are a little complicated. But it was interesting, the first 11, Zorea Choresh Kotzer Ma'amer Dash Zorea Borer Tochen Marakid Lush Ofe, planting, plowing, harvesting, gathering sheaves in a pile, threshing, winnowing, selecting, and grinding and sifting and kneading and baking. So all these malachos are called sidur de pas. All these 11 malachos are different significant stages in the process of making bread. There is a right, you're not going to find the malacha of bishul in this 39 categories, because we assume that ofe and bishul are the same. Bishul is just with wet heat, with liquid heat, and ofez with dry heat. And then you have clothing type malachos, gozes, etzemer, shearing wool, malamna, whitening, menafto, combing the fleece, tsovo, dyeing it, tove, spinning the wool, mesach, osesh de batenirim, these are different types of weaving, which I'm not an expert in, orik shne chutim, potzea shte chutim, kosher mater, vatover shte tviros, akurmanas litvar. So you have all these like types of cloth making, and then you have making knots, untying knots, sewing to stitches, ripping on condition to sew, hadsad svi. Then we have the hunting malachos, trapping deer, shochto shechting it, mafshito skinning the deer, bochel salting it, ma'abedes oro, tanning the hide, memachako smoothing it, mechatko cutting into measured parts. Then we have a bunch of miscellaneous malachos. Kosev shtevel osios, writing two letters. Mochik amanas lichtov shiosios, erasing on condition to write with the express purpose you're writing so you can make space to write two letters. Bona, building. Soter, destroying. Mechaba, extinguishing. Maver, kindling a flame. Makaba patish, the final hammer blow and the final step in completing a vessel. And hamotzi mishus lirshus, carrying, transferring from one domain to another domain. So this is how we get the 39 malachos. Okay. But these are 39 avos malachos. Now the question is, of course, so you're right. There's 39 avos malachos. So if something didn't make the list and it's not an avalacha, but it's a tolda, so why is it a tolda, not an avalacha? What would you say?
Hold on, I just had some sort of thought pop into my head. Is the 30 the avalachos stuff that had to be done for the Mishkan?
Exactly. Good. Okay.
So, okay.
Good. Very good. So the Mishkan. So we're gonna see that's one opinion. So Gabe Shabbos Tanan. With respect to Shabbos, it says, the fact that it says, Avos Malachos, Rav Chaser Achas, this is Gemara Bava Kama, source 6, the Beis Amin Alef. He says, the Avos Malachos are 39, so Avos, the fact that it says they're Avos, Miklad Ika Tolados. So you can deduce from here that they're also Tolados. And then the Gemara asks, Toldosim ki yotzi behem? So the Gemara says their toldos are similar to them. Lo shana av chatas, lo shana tolda chatas, lo shana av skila, lo shana tolda skila. There's no difference if you violate, we're going to see what difference between an av and a tolda is, but in terms of their punishment, there's no real difference in terms of the consequence. If you, if someone in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, if someone unintentionally, let's say he didn't know this malacha was forbidden, or he didn't know that it was Shabbos and he did the malacha, whether it's an av or a tolda, he would bring a korban chatas, a sin offering. And if he was warned, and there were witnesses that saw him perform an av malacha or a tolda, in both cases, he would be put to death. They're both capital crimes. So there seems to be no difference. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Ma'ika bein av l'tolda." What's between the av and the tolda? Nafkamina de'ilu avid shtei avos bahade hadadi. Let's say you did two avos. I guess like you didn't realize it's Shabbos, and you did two avos malachos. Inami shtei toldos bahade hadadi. You did two toldos together. Mechayav kol chad v'chader. So let's say I don't realize it's Shabbos, and then I plow and I harvest. So I, and unintentionally, right? I don't realize it's Shabbos, so I have to bring two korbanos chatos. However, ilu avid av etoldi day lo mechayv elachada. So let's say I would do an av and a tolda, like a derivative from that malacha. So let's say, I think this is correct. So planting is a zorea, is an av malacha. Notea, what's notea?
Planting.
Planting. So what's that? What's between zorea and notea? Stuck, right? Okay, so zorea is planting, I think, a seed. So it's like you're planting seeds in the ground. You're planting vegetables. Notea is generally assumed you're planting a tree. So planting a tree is generally viewed as a tolda. So let's say I did zorea. I didn't realize it's Shabbos. I planted seeds in the ground, and I also planted a tree. That's only, since it's from the same abalacha, that's only one sin offering. So that's the difference. So he said, right? So, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, the mechayv told makoma, but Rabbi Eliezer says no, you'd be chayv too. So my karle av, my karle tolda. Wasn't why is one called an av? Why is one called a tolda? Hak to have a mishkan chashiva, kari le av. Hak to lo have a mishkan chashiva kari le tolda. So this is what Adina, you point out that it there's no at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no halachic difference between an av and a tolda. It's just what describes what was done in the mishkan. So there were 39. Categories of work that was done in the Mishkan, sorry, that were done in the Mishkan, and a tolda is just as significant as an av. It just happens to be that the av was done in the Mishkan and the tolda was not done in the Mishkan. It's just descriptive, but there are no halachic differences. So, but let's try to go a little bit deeper in this. Okay, if you look in the Paris Mishnah, the Rambam, source 7, in Masechah Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis, v'atolda. What's tolda? Hu shetachshov b'libcha al totzaot. Peulat ota malacha hamniyot ba'avot. So, basically, let's say, so he says that, let's think about the results of the action that you did in the av malacha. V'chol makom shetimtza osa pula zehu tolda la'oso ha'av. In other words, when you do an action on Shabbos, you do malacha on Shabbos, so there's the behavior that you're doing, then there's the result of your behavior. In other words, you do an action, and then you perform an action, and then you have a goal that this action should lead to a certain result, right? So what the Rambam is saying that a tolda is when it's a different action than that which was done in the Mishkan, but it essentially has the same result. I mean, not exactly the same, but it's essentially, conceptually, the same result. Like, what's an example? What's tochen? What's the malach of tochen?
Grinding.
Grinding, right? So what's tchina? You are grinding something that's small, the large, into smaller pieces. Now, what are the parameters of the malacha? We're going to get there at some point. But the concept of tochen is you are transforming a large piece, and you're cutting into very small pieces. And therefore, chopping vegetables on Shabbos, nesiras ha'etz, o nesiras ha'etz, Right. So in other words, the av malacha really is where you're having the you're sort of in the process of making bread, so you're grinding the flour, right? Now it's tochein, the av malacha of tochein is another step in the process of bread. So what you're doing is you're grinding the wheat into flour. So that's the av malacha, because that's what's done in the Mishkan. What's a tolda? So let's say you want to cut a vegetable into very small pieces. Or you want to, what's that example? Nisirasa esa kachas hanesora shalom. You are cutting wood in order to take the sand dust. Or shifa tamatechas akats hanesora shalom. Or you're shaving metal to take its dust. Or bikua etin lasukah. Or you are splitting wood for firewood. Kozet toladas tochen. Because the result is what? You're doing all these things because you have a larger piece and you want to cut it into a smaller piece. So that's the same goal as tochen. That's an av. The av malacha is you're grinding, wheat kernels into flour. So if you're not doing wheat, but you're doing these other things, so then it would be a tolda. So that's how we understand. And he gives another example that bishul, right? Bishul and afi are both considered the av malacha. Cooking. What do you do when you cook something? You soften a hard item. When you cook food through the element of heat, you're softening it. So the halacha is that if you're matik achas mina matachos, let's say you expose metal to heat, and by exposing the metal to heat, you are softening the metal. That's the tolda of bishul. I'm not cooking the metal. So what the definition of quote unquote cooking is that you're using heat in order to soften the metal. Again, so that's the tolda. Tolda is the same. You have the action and you have the result. So here the result is the same as the av malacha. Okay, that's between avos and toldos. Okay, let's talk about deraisas versus drabonans. Okay, so the Rambam, source 8, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Halacha, Beis and Gimel, Kol Malkum Shenemar B'Hilchos Shabbos, She'osa Davar Zeh, Chayav, Hareza Chayav Kares. So whenever you find language in the Gemara, it says you are Chayav, liable, so that means you're liable, Kares, cut off. Unclear what this means. Maybe someone dies early without children, whatever it means, but you're chayav kares if there are no witnesses and there's no warning. If there are witnesses and warning, you're subject to death penalty. And if it's done unintentionally, you didn't realize the malacha is forbidden, you don't realize it's Shabbos, so then you bring a korban chata. So this chayav, when the Mishnah and the Gemara will say chayav, it means you're liable to do something, bring a korban, or God forbid, something more severe. But kol makom should be shenemar she'osa. It's a typo there. She'osa davar zeh pater. Whenever it says if you do this, you are pater, you're exempt. In almost all cases, I think there are a few exceptions, but in almost all cases, hareza pater mina kares mina skila mina korban. So when he says you're pater, it doesn't mean it's mutter. It doesn't mean it's permitted. Pater means you are exempt. So isn't your exempt it means you don't get kares, you don't get skila, you don't have to bring a korban, but you're not allowed to do this. B'shabbos so asur b'divrei sofrim, and this is a rabbinic prohibition. And this is a fence from against the malacha. And the Rambam says, if you turn the page to source 9, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chaval Falach Aleph, the Rambam says, Nemar b'torah tishbos, afilu b'dvarim she'ena malacha, chayav lishbos lehem. So he wants to say that there actually might be that you have to cease from activity, even from those activities that are not technically malachos. There are many prohibitions that the rabbi said that you can't do based on a shvus. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Mehem devarim asurim mishum mipnei shehein domim lemlachos. Mehem devarim asurim So there are, the rabbis will come up with two different reasons why they will forbid something rabbinically. It's either because if I do this, then I might lead to this. Right, if you I don't know, if you maybe, I mean, if you well, what opinion of muksa? So what opinion of muksa? That if you move a muksa item, then you might carry it. Whereas if I violate this rabbinic prohibition, then I might do something which is a Torah prohibition. There could also be things which are not what the rabbi said, are not because it's going to lead to. It's because that this malacha is similar to that. It looks like it. Question is, how do you understand the difference between the two of them? So maybe we'll talk about We're going to talk about something called Malacha Shein Tzricha Lagufa. We're going to talk about that at the end of the shiur here. And that might be, it's not a gzeira, but it just looks like a Torah prohibition. So there's a little bit different. There's where the rabbis practically thought that A would lead, if you do this, then it's going to lead to this, versus, you know what, this looks too much like this. You know, how do you know the difference between the two? That a malacha, I think, is they similar to a malacha. So I think this is going a little bit ahead, but it's generally more stringent than gezeira. But I don't know, we'll see if they talk about this. But anyway, these are rabbinic prohibitions. And what's very important is that it's always important to see if something can be knocked down to a rabbinic prohibition. When someone comes to me and they say, I have this issue for Shabbos, right? It's and let's say someone's sick or there's a major financial need or whatever the case is, if I can knock it down to a drabbanan, then like that's amazing. Because then, not amazing, but like under the circumstances, if you can knock it down to a drabbanan, then a lot of things that for a drabbanan, they're permitted, maybe in cases of sickness, in case of major financial loss, maybe. So very often, the job of a rabbi, or if you're in that situation in any case, you want to try to see if you could do some things perhaps not as a deraisa prohibition, but as only drabbanan prohibition, because maybe under some circumstances, maybe we'll say it's permitted, but you got to try to do it in a way that's only drabbanan. So we're going to see a couple of examples of how you can knock something down to a drabbanan. So the first example in source 10 in Masechet Shabbos Kuf Gimel Av, it's called Shinoi. What's Shinoi? What's Shinoi?
Change, different.
Right, to do something differently, right? So the Mishnah, that's always an interesting question. In other words, when do we assume that if you do something in a different way, it is different enough to knock it down from a Torah prohibition to a rabbinic prohibition, right? In other words, the way something is done, let's say the way something is done, the way the malacha is typically done is through X. So if you do something and you make a change, so is that change significant enough to knock it down to a drabbanan or not? So here's an example. Let's say you write two letters. Either with your right or left hand, same letter, two letters, so you do two different types of ink, in any language, so you're liable. Two letters, you're liable. I don't care if you use your right hand or your left hand. So the Gemara says, you mean mishum small am I? I understand if you write, let's say with your right hand, let's assume people are righties here, I'm a lefty, so whatever. But let's assume everyone's a righty here. So it means when it's your right hand means your normal writing hand. So if you're using your right hand, so I understand that's a normal way of writing. But why are you liable if you write two letters with your left hand? This is a shinoi. This is an unusual way of writing letters. That's not the way to write. You normally don't write it in a way that's not your typical, writing style. Not the hand that you write with. Okay, we're talking about a lefty. So we're talking about, but the Gemara is assuming here that when it comes to writing, actually by writing with a different hand, so that would be considered enough of a change so that you're not chayav, you're not liable on a Torah level. I just want to point out, if you look in source 11, the question is, does that apply to other malachos? What do you think? You think it would apply to other malachos? I don't know, let's say you, if you grind vegetables with your right hand, if you grind with your left hand, are we knocking these things down to drabbanans? So the Mishnah Berurah in source 11, Or HaChaim, Siman Shin Mem Sif Katan Chav Beis, says Kosev Chayadim, the whole Malachos Chutz Mi Kosev Chayim Bimina Bimismolo. He says, no, this is a writing halacha. If you think about it, when you're writing, it's not simply making a change. It's making a change whereby the change produces a worse result. So if you are a righty and you write with your left hand, it's not going to look good. So that's Ein Derech Siva B'Kach. But I don't know, if you normally carry something with your right hand, now you carry with your left hand, that change does not impact the nature of the malacha. That's probably how they understand that. You see what I'm saying? So I'm sure there's a lot of discussion on this topic, but that's an interesting question. What's considered a shinoi? So when it comes to writing, at least, writing if you are only, if you're not ambidextrous, and let's say you're a righty, and you write with your left hand, so now it's only an iser, deoraisa. My daughter Hava, so she sometimes has to go in on Shabbos. So, like for her, we need to knock down, all of her Torah prohibitions to rabbinic prohibitions. The truth is, she can knock it down not with that, because for the most part, you do things on computer. Computer is probably drabbanan according to many poskim. So you try to knock it down. So I'm just saying, this is where, for example, this comes up. You want to try to knock in situations where you get a heter to go to the hospital, obviously, if to work as a doctor. Obviously, if it's a life-threatening situation, you could do what, then there's a lot more leeway. But my daughter's a dermatologist, so it's not always pikuach nefesh, right? So therefore, if you can not, you have to, we have to see what's the, can we knock down all the Torah prohibitions to rabbinic prohibitions? So at least when it comes to writing, if you write with the other hand, obviously if it's messy, so I don't know if it's helpful, but okay. There are other things, like for example, if you write something, I'm just saying, this is an example, we're going to talk about this, where you write something and it's supposed to be like erasable ink for only 24 hours. Like, these are interesting, ways to maybe solve the problem. Okay, in any case, if you look in Masechet Shabbos, it's Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, let's finish the Mishnah Berurah. Ach baraglo b'fiv u'marpeko mash b'desham de pater v'aser. So if you were to do the other malachos that you normally do with your hand, you do it with your leg, with your mouth, with your elbow, so that would make it a rabbinic prohibition. That's significant enough. It would change. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Amotzi, in source 12, Amotzi masui al rosho pater. If you carry something on your head, so that it's only a rabbinic prohibition. If you want to say, apparently the people of Hutzal, that's what they would do. That was their normal way that they would do it. But we're saying, no, that's not, most people don't do what the Hutzal people do. And therefore, that's enough to make it a shinoi. So again, these are all like questions. Like if you look at the footnote, let's read the footnote number 7, right? So according to the Marach or Zeruah and the Ben Ishchai, it's not considered a halachic shin to perform halacha in an unusual manner when the result is the same. On the other hand, the Eglei Tal maintains that such a deviation from the usual measure is considered a shinoi. That's an interesting question, right? In other words, is the goal simply to do something unusual, or does it have to be something unusual that will result in a worse result, that will cause a worse result, right? So that's a debate between the Eglei Tal and the Ben Ish Chai. And he says what he says, let's say, is it helpful for you if let's say you have to use an elevator, right? That's what you talked about. Let's say you have to use a phone or an elevator. So if you use your elbow or your knuckle, so like I mean, at the end of the day, the buttons are being pressed. So it's not causing a lessening in the result. The buttons are still being pressed. It's just an unusual way. So the question is there a value to doing that or not? Okay, that's a discussion. Okay. In any case, so that's what we got in terms of shinoi. Now the question is, when are you supposed to do a shinoi? So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 13, Or HaChaim, Shin Chav Ches Seif Yud Beis, K'shemachalim Shabbos al Chol Sheish Pesachana. When we violate Shabbos on a sick person who has a life-threatening illness, Mishtadin Shalasas Adei Eino Yehudi Uktan V'Nashim Adei Yisraelim Gdol V'Nei Das. No, you should use not kids, right? But you should use the. You should use adults. Why should you use adults? Why don't you? Why shouldn't you use a kid? Why tell you Dafka should use an adult? What do you think?
Because they know that they're doing it because of someone's, to save a life,
Right.
and they recognize what they're doing, as opposed to a kid who would say, "Oh, well, I was allowed to do it last week. Why can't I do it this week?"
That's interesting. I think what they say. It's interesting what you're saying. I think what they say is that. We don't want people when you need to like we don't want people to cut corners. Like basically like you know it's like when like I think there was like a story when Rav Yisrael Salanter in the cholera outbreak in the middle of the 19th century. So he got up in the middle of Yom Kippur and he started eating to tell everyone, no, don't be machmir here, you gotta eat. So that's what they're saying. They're saying that the gedolim, like the leaders are the ones who should be, the adults are the one, not the kids. The adults are the ones who should be mechallel Shabbos to tell you, like, take this seriously. Don't say, okay, I want to be machmer. You can't be machmer when it's pikuach nefesh. But the Ramah does say, if you can do it with by way of a shinoi, you should do a shinoi. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah in source 14, Or HaChaim Shin Chav Ches Siv Katan Lamed Hey, said the whole kama deducha lasus behetel lo shavki ater v'nasus be'isser. Anytime if you could do it in a permitted way, right? Then you shouldn't do it in a forbidden way. Venera dahu adin, and the same thing applies. This is the halacha im al yidei hashinoi. If through the shinoi, during the change misachar adavar maat, right? The ena choli bahul nami misachar maat. Also, if the matter is supposed to a little bit, but the illness will not become exacerbated, so he lasts like they shido and they ain't no elius. They should do it. You should do it with a rabbinic prohibition. Yes, see, there have been a few times in shul where, like, a kid had to go to the hospital, and you know, people took their liberty to drive. Jew, you know, someone, a congregant took their liberty to drive. They didn't ask me. I would have told them. It depends on the situation. There are many times, you know what? If you can get an Uber to take the person to the hospital, again, obviously, if it's a situation where if you wait, you know, even the smallest amount, it can be very dangerous. Okay, but there have been times where there are competent doctors in the shul, responsible doctors in the shul, who at times said, like, you know, we can wait. They can come 5 minutes later, and you shouldn't have congregants drive them to shul on Shabbos. Right? Again, we should be machmir. We should be strict if it's suffered pikuach nefesh. But there are some times where it's clearly not pikuach nefesh. Right, the I mean, it happens a time when people are giving birth. Again, many times where these obviously there are times. I shouldn't say that because Ahava is our first, and I think we usually the first takes a long time. I think we, if I recall correctly, I think we live in the Great Neck at the time. We were Utrecht in Great Neck, so she gave birth in North Shore. Yeah, I gave birth in North Shore. So I think we left at 5:15, got to the hospital at 5:30. She gave birth at 5:45. So, that was, I think we waited till last, because, I think we waited till the last minute in terms of doing that because we knew we were so close. But my point is, if it's a situation where a doctor just comes in and it's really not such a, you can really wait 5 extra minutes to have a non-Jew take them, it's much better. The Shmir Shal Tzolchosa, source 15, Perek Lamed Beis, Halacha Chav Ches. It says, when you violate Shabbos in order to save people, you try to minimize the prohibitions. Again, as long as you're confident, that's not going to cause the person's situation to become worse. You should try to limit the severity of the prohibition. But if you can save the person with only violating Issur Rabbanan, also not violating Issur Torah, you can't violate the Torah prohibition. Davar Asher She'efshar La'asotza B'Shinoy, if something you can do in an unusual way, Shalko Derech HaTziyasa B'Chol, not in the way you normally do it during the week, Yasiyah B'Shinoy, you should do it in an unusual way. Davar Asher She'rogel La'asotza B'Dei Adam Echad, Yisur Shnai B'Mishutav. If there's something that you can do with two people doing the Malacha together, better do that than one. E'efshar La'asot B'Shnai B'Mishutav, Hu'nasa B'Derech Klal B'Yad Echaz, Yasiyah B'Shnei Adav Kachaz. If you normally do something with one hand, so you should do it with two hands if possible. Again, but he does point out, in every situation, when there's any slight concern, that basically any delay can cause a harm to the person, or that he will be weakened because of them. So just ignore these limitations. Do whatever you can for the benefit of the patient, as one would do on a weekday, in order to save him. So again, obviously, if you can, time is of the essence, so you do it everything normally. Don't think about it. The Yaakov Yosef of this is Rav Yosef's son. He says the following. He says, "Yesh omer, there are those who say." That when we violate Shabbos because of, for a chola sheish bo sakana, for a sick person, for a life-threatening illness, you should do it in an unusual manner. If it's not going to lead to any, increased danger. Therefore, when you telephone on Shabbos, you make a phone call on Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, you should pick up the phone with your elbow. I guess those who did, it's probably a rotary phone back then. Some say the shino is only when there's a yoledes, a new mother is giving birth. Vad Yosef, I guess his son, says that you never have to do anything b'shino. The only exception is a yoledes, a new mother, a woman who's giving birth, because that is pikuach nefesh. But for the most part, you can generally, it's not time is not about the essence in the in most instances. But other cases, he seems to say, you don't have to do a Peshinah. That's what the Sfardim say, I guess. That's not the way the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. I'm just saying, the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, that's Rav Neuver, that's Ashkenazi Psak, says, if you're confident it's not going to result in any lessening of the treatment, then you should do it with the Shidoi. So you see how these are instructions for the chief rabbinate. He says, Bechol, source 17, he says, Bechol, base Knesset, and every shul, Yesh laniach me'erev Shabbos machshir telephone patuach. You should leave a telephone open, right? She has zamin lahazik et kochos hacheruma called tzara shelo tavo, in case there is, so there's an emergency. Nitan lahazik celulari al matzav retet bakis. Cell phones could be kept in one's pocket in vibrate mode. Mi sheyesh lo neshek berishon. Someone who has a licensed firearms, mitzvah sheyisa, also has a neshek gam b'Shabbos, you should also carry it on Shabbos. Gam im b'derech klal hu lo somech al eruv, even if he doesn't rely on the eruv. So they're very, in some respects, so this was, so right, so this was, this was because of the concern. They said, these are always very complicated questions, and how much should we be concerned about something happening? So he allows the phone to be open, he allows someone to carry a phone, and he allows, I don't think he allows everyone to carry a phone. You never
Must be
know.
more in Eretz Yisrael where you have more security issues than we might have.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but there are people part of CSS who do carry cell phones here. These are very tough questions. They're very tough questions, right? Someone once said that, someone told me once, he said, if what happened in Pittsburgh, years ago, happened in the tri-state area, we'd be much more, I don't know if the word is machmir, or for pikuach nefesh, we'd be much more lenient in terms of these things. And this is the website of Shmuel Aliyahu. These are during emergencies for Shabbos during Operation Iron Swords, right, what's going on now. Mutter lahashir makshir cellulari patuch b'Shabbos amnas lekabel hatraot b'Shabbos lezor bo garim. You can leave your cell phone on to receive any alerts in your house. Umlats latino sabarosh, it's better to charge it beforehand. Let's say it's not sufficiently charged. Mutter lahatin gam b'Shabbos b'Shino, you're allowed to charge it on Shabbos in an unusual manner. Eitzah bali tafkideim bahem yetzarach bitchoni shoteh, for those who have security roles. So if you have security roles, that you'd be allowed to. Then if you continue the next page, so he says that Adam should tzarach latzeis b'makom l'makom. Let's say you need to go from place to place. Nitan li stovev, I guess talking about security person. Nitan li stovev im hamachshir hanayad b'Shabbos b'kiyus gam b'makom shein eruv. You're allowed to go around and carry without an eruv. L'chein afilo al safek pikuach nefesh yotzim v'nosim b'recha b'shtamshim b'pelafon b'tzur regila afilo b'shinoi k'dei lo la'akev afilo b'rega. If there's an uncertain danger to life, you can drive a car, use a cell phone in the usual manner, even without a shinoi, so you don't delay at all. Ish de'ah she'mishtamshim b'shinoi. There is an opinion that says you should use a shinoi. Im ze bevada'us lo gorem tipa ikuv. If it definitely won't cause even a small delay. V'lem yesh safek im gorem ikuv. But if it's uncertain whether it will cause a delay, v'yotze schor b'fseido, then you gain nothing. V'lachein ishtamesh k'ragil. Therefore, you should use it normally. So like that's, I think the firm world is moving more towards that. Again, we don't want to make Shabbos like a weekday in a sense. We don't want to just, because of a danger, like when it's a very, very remote danger, so should everyone carry cell phones? I mean, I was at an RCA convention, an RCA convention, they asked Rabbi Willig, are we getting to the point where everyone should carry a cell phone? Because it could be rising anti-Semitism. He's not in favor of that. He's not in favor of that. But these are interesting questions. At what point are we? We care about the security, obviously, of our people. At the same time, we want to maintain the spirit of Shabbos, and how you balance the two is obviously very difficult, how to balance them. Okay, we didn't cover as much as what we covered, but I think we'll stop here. We're going to talk about Malacha, Sheina Tzricha Lagufa next time, and Dabar Sheina Miskaven, other principles, that before we start the Bishul itself, to learn, basic principles regarding the Malachos of Shabbos. Okay?
Rabbi, can I just